McDonald's fan feed boxes.
Triple M rocks football. This is the Sunday Rub.
For Ream hot water heaters. If your hot water needs replacing, accept nothing less than Australia's best. Install a Ream.
Yes, welcome to the Sunday Rub at the MCG. What a magical day it is here in Melbourne. It is Collingwood's home game against Melbourne today at the MCG. And it is crossroads for the Collingwood Football Club, that is for sure. We'll be speaking with their CEO, Gary Peart, a little bit later on in the show. We certainly look forward to that. Dale Morris, our guest, last night's game, of course, the Western Bulldogs. A lot of injuries involved in that game. We'll be speaking to Dale about that very shortly. And Tom Lynch, Adelaide, kicked three goals last night. And boy, haven't they had a good start, the Adelaide Football Club. Won their last three. Their only loss in round one to North Melbourne. And they play the premiership favourites, Hawthorn, next weekend in what should be a cracking game of football. And Bernie Vince from the Melbourne Footy Club will join us a little bit later on. Swatter's here, Duck's here, JZJ Clark from the Herald Sun is here, Mickey Roberts is here, Ashtura's here, the full Sunday Rub team. Swatter, good afternoon.
Afternoon, BT. Cracker of an afternoon. Two traditional rivals. Probably an astute decision a couple of weeks ago, JZ, just to put the contract extension to bed. Sign that, because if it wasn't put to bed, a loss today, I think, will be a telling story for Collingwood if it is a loss. But had they not signed Nathan Buckley up a couple of weeks ago, then this story would be massive.
If they lose this week, the media bus will be parked at Collingwood all doubt, no doubt about that.
Big weekend, and we're at the game that's going to determine that. Duck, good afternoon, welcome to you.
G'day, BT, boys, listeners. Yeah, beautiful day. Good day for footy, and you're right. I know that Damien Hardwick and Richmond will be hoping Melbourne can get the job done. It takes the pressure off them a little, but that's the heat that comes your way when you're involved in one of the biggest clubs in the country, and that's so what Collingwood are.
You're in Perth on Friday night, and then they decided to do some roadworks about midnight on the runway.
Why?
Perth, and closed it down. No plane can land or take off. The trouble is they forgot to tell the planes, people driving them.
It was astounding, BT. We sat on the tarmac. There was problems with the plane, so fair enough. You'd prefer them to say, get off the plane if the plane's no good. But then we got off the plane, and they said, now we're waiting from a plane from Brisbane, and then you can get on that plane. But that plane can't land because we're doing work on the tarmac. And I'm going, so if you know a plane's landing, why do you start work on a tarmac? And then we couldn't take off. So, yeah, it was a bit of a farcical situation over there, but we got home eventually.
Yeah, not good with their roads over there, the Country Roads Board, that is for sure. Jay-Z, welcome to you. And I guess the big story today, Jay-Z, is the Dogs, and particularly Joe Hannison.
It is. A week after losing a Robert Murphy to that knee injury, BT, massive news last night with Jason Johannesson hurting his hamstring. Now, as it stands, that looks to me, and we believe it is a four-month injury to Jason Johannesson. It was high up. It's tendon in the tendon area, and the damage, as we understand it, is severe. So I think if he gets back in time for finals or at any part of the home and away season, it'll be a great effort because he will need surgery, and he's facing a long stint out. So this is not going to be a 4 to 6 hamstring week, people. This will be 4 months surgery. Good effort if he comes back.
So Dog fans out there listening, it's real hard luck, but don't be holding out any hope for Johannesson, because the way that it appeared last night, it's off the bone.
Yeah.
It's gone. It will require surgery. If you're looking at that and judging what happened, Swatter, and you know more than any that he's a goner, and that'll be a good portion of the season, as Jay-Z said.
He's a massive loss. I mean, it compounds the loss of Rob Murphy. But if you're saying it's 4 months, we're at the end of round four, that's round 20. He'll probably need 4 weeks of conditioning in the VFL. Your home and away is finished. Geez, you'd be a brave person if the Bulldogs, which we all suspect will make the finals, to roll the dice and have him come back in.
Well, that's two run and carry players that deliver the ball well, and that's almost the most important player in your team now, and they've lost two of them, so they're massive losses. It's
they're actually missing their full halfback line.
Easton Wood's the other one.
Their three best runners at the moment, Murphy, Johannesson, Wood, are not playing, right? And are all suspect. Even Wood, when he comes back, will be suspect with the twanger, right? So they're not playing. They are their three best running players.
Yep. Yeah, you lose that run and creativity, but you've also got to acknowledge the decision to recruit Jed Adcock. Not the same player, but he's a captain of another club who brings some experience. Plus, I love the story of Marcus Adams. Again, a different player, but some of those off-season recruiting decisions, Jay-Z, have been pretty important.
And Shane Biggs from Sydney. Yep. I mean, how many? He was nearly best on last night. You called the game, Urshwater. He was sensational as well. So, well done to Jason McCartney in the team. But, BT, you've seen a lot of players do their hamstrings. How often do you see them in a kicking motion?
Yeah, and that's the thing. We were talking with Duck before about it, and he thought it was pretty unusual as well. I think what is yet to be determined, was it the actual kick or was it the stride before the kick? And that's something we probably don't know yet. But shocking news, and there's no doubt we knew Murphy was gone, so you put him aside and you say you can probably cover that, probably got the depth. I don't reckon you can cover your two best runners because whoever you bring in is not going to be equal to those two.
Yep.
No, their creativity, they're good decision makers, and it's all and their ball use. I mean, both of them use the ball so beautifully. So that is very hard to replace. And that I guess that's the big difference between the best teams and the teams that are sort of around the mark, and that is depth. Their depth is now going to be challenged with the injuries.
And we wait to see how Matty Suckling pulls up over the course of the next week, given he had some issues with an ankle. It looked as though he'd probably got some sort of injection. And Tommy Boyd came off with a shoulder problem late in the game as well.
And that will be the Boyd thing will be already a pre-existing shoulder injury. So the thing that they'll be weighing up there is I think the Dogs are pretty sure they can manage him through the season with shoulders. And Duck is the expert on this. So he can be managed through. The thing is, as a young kid, how much can you cope with? Mm. How much pain, how much management, how much emotional stress with the shoulder and physical stress with the shoulder can you manage? Duck, we knew you could cope because you're more experienced and I'm not saying a bit tougher, but his toughness is yet to be proven.
But for him, he's a young kid making his way. He still hasn't established himself as an AFL footballer. He's on massive money. We saw Gary Ablett, arguably one of the greatest players of all time and arguably still the best player in the competition, have a whole year and a half off with a series because he wasn't 100% fit. So we can't expect this kid to carry an injury, BT, and then we'll all jump on him and people will jump on him and say, oh, you know, he's not living up. He's got to get himself right to give himself a chance at being a long-term footballer.
I wonder if they're on the bottom of the ladder, the Bulldogs, would they be trying to manage or would they be just going, bang, get him done, get him right for next year?
Mm. So do you think this would just be a pain thing for him now then, BT? Like how he can handle the pain on a basic weekly basis?
Absolutely.
But a young kid shouldn't have to go out there in a massive amount of pain just for the sake of his...
But I think most of the decision will be his.
No, I don't agree with it.
I do.
I think the medical team will have a significant say in this.
But I think the medical team will present the facts on both sides.
Yeah.
Here's what happens if we manage it. Here's what happens if you go in for an operation. Which one do you want?
Yeah. Yeah. But you've also got to be... You can't be short-sighted with this because they are paying him a significant amount of money. And if they continue to push him and he doesn't cope, what's the long-term damage of this type of injury?
He's on the... You would argue that he's on the fringe of being in their best side anyway.
Yep.
So why would you be playing him not 100% fit? You wouldn't.
Yeah, look, I don't think the Doctors will take any risk.
Yeah, I agree.
They'll weigh up what's good for him and what's not.
And Redpath's the man. Redpath is the man we might see coming next week to
Josh Pruden doing his ACL yesterday.
That's terrible news.
In the VFL as well. So they've had a shocker. That is, I think, 6 in 13 months they've done ACLs down there at the Western Bulldogs. Shocking. But let's hope they've got guys like Tory Dixon and these other guys to come in and keep this run alive for the Western Bulldogs. Dale Morris is on the line. He played a significant role last night in the absence of Rob Murphy, of course, organising that back line. He joins us on Triple M now. Dale, appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
No worries. Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, you must wake up and you say to yourself, well, you're 3-1, so things are good there. Have you got the troops? That's the question that's going to be asked of your group over the next month.
Yeah, we've been hit pretty hard, haven't we, in recent weeks, which, you know, you never see these things coming. But coming into the season, I think we were talking about, and the media were talking about, how the depths that we had. So, you know, that will get tested now. We've got guys ready to step up from the VFL. So, you know, injuries, as bad as they are, and as we've had some significant ones, it does provide opportunities for other players to step up and fill those roles.
So Dale, who are those players that will step in and fill those roles in your mind, given that the two players that you've got, well, actually the three at the moment, that are all you know, great runners, great users of the footy?
Yeah, they are. The main ones have been our high halfbacks, I guess, in JJ Murph and sadly now Prudes as well. But we've got some young guys. We've got Bailey Williams down in the VFL that's playing some good footy, and and we recruited suckers last year, you know, to play that half-back wing, half-forward role.
He definitely played more prominently last night as a result, didn't he?
Yes, definitely. And even Shane Biggs as well. So we've got guys that can roll through there. And you add to that Matthew Boyd and Easton Wood that don't mind getting up the ground either. You know, it would be great to have JJ and Murph in the team, but we've got guys that can fill those roles, and you need to spread the load now. You can't, as good as JJ and Murph are, we need to spread it between three, maybe four players, and some guys that usually play more maybe midfield time might have to come and play back for a bit.
Hey, Dale, did you take it upon yourself last night, or was it instruction from Bebo to push forward? Because I've seen quite a lot of your footy over the last few years, and you seem to be getting up the ground a hell of a lot more last night.
Yes, I blacked out at one stage and found myself up forward. yeah, the way that Bebo coaches and all their coaches go about things is you play on instincts and you play the game. And in the past, I've played that that deep defender and remained down there. But at times, I've been finding myself just reading the play and doing a lot of work with Rowan Smith in working on my attacking side of my game, and yeah, found myself up there and just aim for the post again, which is a silly thing to do. So it's two times I've hit the post now.
So when you got that ball, Dale, I saw your mind ticking over saying, I don't normally get it in this position. What should I do with it now?
Yeah, there was a bit of that going through my mind, and when I looked up and saw the goals, I was thinking, I reckon I got this, and maybe it was thinking about the celebration more than the goal, but hopefully more opportunities come around this year, and to have two shots in 1 year is probably a PB and some sort of record for me, so hopefully I can get a few more.
Dale, it's Jay Clark here, mate. Thanks for joining us. Robert Murphy, your old mate, do you hope he plays on?
From a selfish point of view, that yes, definitely. His footy over the last couple of years, you could argue, is getting better and better. All-Australian, captain of our club, he's not slowing down. My personal view is I would love him to keep going, but that decision at the end of the day is going to be weighed up by him and his family, and everyone around him are going to be there to support him in whichever way he goes. So it's still pretty raw, so he's going to work through it in his own way, and when he comes to that decision, whenever that is, we'll support him with whatever he does. But even though he's not out on the field now, he's still a great leader of our football club, and his presence alone lifts the spirits of the guys. So it's great having him around the club.
That said then, Dale, what did you make of Brian Lake's comments that for the benefit of the club he should retire?
Yeah, I was surprised. I actually didn't see the interview that Brian did, and that's his opinion, I guess. He's in the media now, so he has to have an opinion on those things. And like I said before, Murph isn't slowing down. He's playing some of the best footy he's ever played, so I don't see the reason why he should retire. If you're in the best 22, no matter what your age is, you'll get a game. And with Murph on the list, he doesn't limit the development of players. He actually enhances the development of the players because he can teach them along the way. And if he's in the best 22, like myself and Boydy, I guess, are in that bracket at 33, that if we're not playing 22, if we're not in the 22 with our form, then we can go back and actually help the young guys to develop quicker. So, that's Brian's opinion, and good on him. But, I don't necessarily agree.
Well, Dale, a good position to be in at the moment when it comes to the Premiership ladder, 3-1, confronting Brisbane at your home deck, Etihad Stadium, and next week. And your team is playing pretty solid football at the moment. Congratulations on that, and let's hope you find a way through the injuries that you've got. Thanks for joining us.
No worries. Thank you for having me, guys.
Yeah, I think someone ran over a black cat, unfortunately.
JJ, there was a kicking motion. It looks high. Could be a bad hamstring.
Yeah, it's hard to know, Mark. It's probably not going to be a two-weeker, but we'll obviously have a scan. And great courage from Matty Suckling. He rolled his ankle and he came back on, and we couldn't afford to lose another high defender, and he was terrific. So we'll see how they go during the week, but hopefully Matty will be all right.
Yes, Luke Beveridge speaking after the game last night. We can confirm, even though the coach probably couldn't then, that we think it will definitely be a reattachment of the tendon. And so it'll be the majority of the year, although expected to be back probably three quarters of the way towards the end of the year for Jason Johannesson. So we think he is gone. You mentioned when you were speaking to Dale Morris just a moment ago, Jay-Z, Jay Clark, here with us on Triple M Football along with Swatter and Duck. The Murphy future, what do you think what do you think's going on at the moment? Why hasn't he been in for surgery, and what do you think's going through his mind?
Well, I think he's genuinely in limbo, fellas. He doesn't know. Initially, every night the Western Bulldogs wanted him to play on and were expecting him to play on, but the longer this drags out...
How old is he?
32, 33. And played his best footy last year of his career. I mean, he's All-Australian captain, just had one out of the box last year. And as Dale Morris said then, still playing at a very high level and a very important role. But you just think that the more time this drags on, that he delays this sort of surgery, that he may be thinking whether, in fact, he can come back. Now, we can tell you that the Dogs List Management Committee will meet this week. I think it'll be Wednesday. And that's where they will begin to look at what a contract for
Bob
Murphy.
And the first thing they'll look at, he turns 34 in June, so he'll be 35 when he gets back.
Well, and that's, you know, but we're seeing a lot of guys play very good footy in their 30s at the moment. Boomer Harvey's, what, 38? We saw Sam Mitchell have career-high possession. So I think the trend of the competition suggests if you got in the right team, in the right role, you can still play good footy post-30, Duck.
I actually wrote an article about that Friday, BT. You should have read it.
It was a great, great article,
it was,
Duck.
It was that. In regards to the older players.
Was at the end of the Goulburn Times? Or
if, you have, if you have the speed of mind, and you're obviously a great decision maker and you have a football brain, I think that the game and the way the game's played now, there's room for you to go on longer than maybe years gone by.
And I think that is the trend now, because it was only 6 or 7 years ago
we were trying
to get rid of players when they were 28.
Well, yeah. And we, you know, I think we had a lot more, you know, it was all based around, you know, your athletic ability rather than your footy brain. And I think that that's why Bob Murphy has a chance. But at the end of the day, none of us know how he's going to react to knee surgery and whether he's going to be able to come back and be the player he was or not.
Keep dropping the interchange and we'll have more of these players hanging around for longer, I'm telling you.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. There's a lot going on through his head, obviously. As to why is there a rush for him to commit to a decision one way or another? I mean, it's only 7 days since he's done the injury.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime you have a serious injury, the older you get, you're facing your footy mortality. I don't think that there's any need for him to rush a decision, is there?
No, there's absolutely no rush. But for every week that he delays it, obviously, it's a week added onto his recovery. So Luke Beveridge said last night, you know, no dramas, take as much time as you want. It's a big decision. But I think even if he didn't want to play on, the club would create a coaching position, a coaching role, a welfare role. He's just such a beloved figure. He will be there next year whether he's playing or not. Right. I hope he goes on.
That's Rob Murphy. Let's take a look at the biggest hit of the weekend. In fact, biggest hit in footy for quite a while. The Stephen May bump on Stephen Martin up there at Brisbane. It was a very big hit. I think we're going to have a listen to that now.
One of the biggest collisions you'll see all year in the middle of the ground. And Stephen Martin is out cold.
Well, what'll be interesting is here is if he ran past the ball, Sammy, to put that bump on, that's what will be assessed when it comes to reporting. Here it is.
And he did. And he
that
jumped.
That is a massive hit.
And he jumped. Triple M Chemist Warehouse replay. The jumping is also what will have him in a fair bit of strife.
Jay-Z, you're our expert when it comes to all things match review and tribunal. I'd ask you to put it in match review form and rate it, but you think it's going to go beyond that?
Absolutely, going straight to the tribunal, this one.
Why?
High contact and intentional contact and either severe impact or high impact. Either one of the two, just like Jeremy Cameron we saw at the start of the season, it goes straight to the tribunal. So I think there is not a doubt in anyone's mind this is going to be a 5 to 6 week suspension. Justin Lepich was, you know, very casual about it last night. There are people at Brisbane very much unhappy because it ruled Martin out for the rest of the game. And last night, someone touched base with him sort of late in the night and he had started getting very bad headaches. So initially after the game, fellas, he was sort of okay. He was up and about and chatting to the coaching staff and everyone. But someone who touched base with him later on, he sort of said, mate, how are you going? And he said, I'm starting to feel pretty crook. So it was getting worse last night, which is not a good sign for his availability this week.
Yeah, the fact that Stephen May left the ground to deliver the bump, I think, works against him. But what about the lead-up to the bump with Gary Ablett actually getting his hands into the back of Stephen Martin, which propelled him forward? Does that come into the equation at all?
I think it has to.
That's the defence they're going to use, isn't it?
No, doesn't come into it at all.
But that's what they'll go down that path.
All that the little push did was
speed it up.
Mm. Speed, yeah. So it, you know, pushed him towards. But May.
So it did give him more momentum.
Yeah. But May still had the intent to leave the ground and bump. So that's why he's in trouble.
And he went past the ball, Stephen May.
And went past the ball. Issue. I mean, look, it's. I mean, that's we haven't seen that type of bump for a long time in our game. Really, I can't remember the last time someone's actually. Ran over the footy, left the ground, and
well,
and
there's a photo. I think it's published in today's Herald Sun, isn't it? And it's a photo of both of them about 2 or 3 metres before they come together with the ball almost in the middle. They're both looking at each other, trying to determine what decision each other is going to make.
Even Gary's thinking, oh, "What have I done here?" Yeah. Well, he's got a quiz.
It's a great photo.
Well, yeah. Stefan, by the look of that photo, Chemist Warehouse replay photo. He didn't really adjust very well, did he?
And I would have thought anyone with a man bun that's coming towards you is probably going to come off second best. And poor old Stefan had the man bun on yesterday, but it was a big hit. It was akin to the great hits in the hits, but the big hits in the game, like Ray Card and Magro and all of those guys, wasn't it?
Voss on Richardson, out in the wing, which absolutely flattened on him. Now May's got record. He's got form in this area, so he only said this week that I need to stay out of the umpire's book. Is he's got 5 or 6 incidents, so he's got. There's going to be an extra match added to his rap sheet. So I think no doubt 5 or 6 weeks. What do you think, Duck?
I think you're right. If you look at Jeremy Cameron, if he got four, then you're probably in that ballpark. And if he gets the extra, as you said, because of a bad record, then you're probably looking at a
He's
handful.
A big loss for them too, isn't he? Stephen May.
Yeah.
Really important player.
And they don't have a lot of big man depth.
Yep.
You know, when you look at May, Day and Lynch, that's the extent. And Nichols, if you want to throw him in as the ruckman, that's the extent of their big men, really.
Thompson out as well.
There is the young kid, and I'm surprised they haven't played him now. Wright, who they drafted out of the Calder Cannons, I believe, was very, very close to getting a game and did play a lot of the pre-season games but hasn't played in the season proper just yet. So
I think Rocket likes 2 metre Peter.
Does he?
I think he's a big fan of him.
Yes, well, there you go. Jeez, all right, man. So that is the May bump. We think around about 5 weeks for that, and I think the boys are going to be pretty well spot on with that. And with him receiving some sort of headaches and that later in the night, it's not good news.
No, he'd have to pass a concussion test this week, which Nick Riewoldt did. But it was the person who spoke with him said, look, it wasn't a great sign that he was developing these headaches later in the evening.
Mm. Let's go around the grounds. What have we got happening there?
It's GWS giving Port Adelaide a spanking early in the first quarter. Chad Wingard has just kicked Port Adelaide's first goal, but it is the Giants by 15 points, 22-7, halfway through the first quarter, BT.
Have a quick look at what Hawthorn presented with St Kilda down at Launceston yesterday. Had a look at most of that game on replay this morning. Gee, they were hard at it, the Saints, Jay-Z, weren't they? They really had a red-hot crack.
Well, I was thinking at the start of the year that St Kilda might plateau or take a step back because maybe their older players weren't, you know, going to have the years out of the skins they did last year. But Armitage and Steve and a couple of the young guys, I've been really impressed, you know, by their start to the season. And to take it up to the reigning premiers was a fantastic effort. Now, if it wasn't for a very controversial free kick late, guys, when Montagna was kicking out and it went Dempster to Savage. Now, it looked to me to be a 20-metre pass in the teeth of goal. The umpire said it wasn't 15. Play on, and sure enough, Jordy Lewis kicked the goal that got Hawthorn ahead. Now, that to me looked 20-plus metres. So the umpire, I think, has made a mistake there. And if it wasn't for that, St Kilda could have won.
They've been very, very strict on the 15-metre
this weekend.
And it started on Friday night. I actually think they've been quite... It's been going on for a couple of weeks, but even stricter on Friday night. And again,
I think it's good for the game.
I think it's good for the game because those little dinky kicks, BT, I don't like at all. Mm. And let's be honest, at times they were paying free kicks when they were 5 metres away. Yep. So I'm glad they're stricter about it. And remember a couple of years ago, because of those little kicks, we're all saying... make it 25 metres that you have to kick the ball before it's
too hard. But you notice that all the grounds are cut in 10-metre segments to try and help the umpires measure. There was one ground last week where they refused to cut the 10 metres and he wanted to do his own thing because these curators can be very bloody... you know, they think that's art, what they're doing. Mate, it's cutting the lawn. Just cut the lawn in 10-metre sections and the umpires will get a bit of a gauge on what's happening there. So how do we gauge... Hawthorn's form. So they lose to Geelong convincingly in round one. We all saw that game. They beat West Coast by 46. And then they have close games that could have gone either way against the Dogs and St Kilda. So are they at 3-1 in the form that we think they're in?
Probably not at their peak form, but a good team will continue to win even when they're not playing particularly well. I think Luke Hodge acknowledged that after the game last night, Jay-Z. They haven't played well the last couple of weeks, but they're still finding a way to win. They've still got some key injuries and players that are out of that lineup. So, you know, if they get to the halfway point and they're 8-2, that's a pretty good position to be in, knowing that you've got some good players to come back in. Plus, also, hopefully, you're starting to really fine-tune the way that you play.
And coach Alistair Clarkson, after the game, said the Hawks might have been fortunate to get the points yesterday.
Probably 2 weeks in a row, the better side's probably lost. You know, I thought St Kilda played a better brand of footy than what we did today. Yeah, we get the 4 points and bank them and move on, but it's a pretty unconvincing 3-1 at this point in time, but we'll take it.
And they're trying to integrate a couple of youngsters here. Remember, Roughhead's out, so they're trying to play. Sicily's been very good, and Timmy O'Brien was okay at stages yesterday. So they're trying to integrate these young players and get them into the Hawthorn system. If they do win the premiership at the end of the year, fellas, I just think it's an amazing effort, given some of the injuries, and to keep the motivation and hunger up. Like, it'd be Alistair Clarkson's greatest achievement as a coach, I would have thought. But I just think this year is so even, isn't it? You know, with an asterisk on the Hawks and St Kilda bobbing up. Who knows who's going to win the flag this year?
A couple of likely challenges last night too in Adelaide. That was a cracking game.
Would we rate them anywhere near the Brisbane triple premiership side?
Well, how can they not be in the same conversation?
Well, just on numbers they are. I still wonder about...
It's the competition. Have they had as much competition?
Brisbane's side, for me, was better, you know.
Because the competition was stronger?
Yeah, probably. And I just thought they were more explosive. Hawthorn just do it in such an easy way.
Our talent pool, because we now have 18 teams
is weaker.
Is diluted.
Yeah.
Well, and just going back to the young players at the Hawks, 7 players, less than 40
very,
games.
Short today, Duck, but precise.
Well, he got a better night's sleep last night. Friday night probably wasn't great, but he looked well-rested.
Didn't get much at all
fresh
on Friday night.
No, sorry, Jay-Z, you're in the middle.
No,
of
you're right. I was just saying the Hawks, don't underestimate the fact they've got 7 players with less than 40 games experience. So this is not the totally battle-hardened experience unit we've seen last year.
I'll tell you what we did see. Are we going to talk West Coast at any point in time?
Right now. Go on.
Right
now. Say something about them.
Well, they were absolutely brilliant the other night. And the one thing, sitting in the Virgin Lounge for a few hours with the Richmond boys.
Did they have the roadwork sign out on the runway saying, road under repair, please do not land?
What they did notice was the physical stature of the West Coast Eagles. The definition and the size.
You're not going down
they
that.
Were physically, they are way physically stronger than Richmond. Mm. And it was absolutely noticeable from, you know, from the box. And Richmond players mentioned it. They're ripped and defined. The only one that's not is McGovern, and he's a very good player. But their kicking the other night, Swatter, they hit the ball hard and low and were so precise. There was absolutely nothing you could do to defend that. And if Alex Rance, and I think someone wrote it, if Alex Rance wasn't in that Richmond defence, they would have kicked 50 goals. Would have kicked 20.
Do you think they are better than they were last year, having seen a little bit of them so far?
Well, I tell you why they're better. I think they're better. Right. And I know they got beaten here by the same margin against Hawthorn. But I think they're better because McKenzie's back in that side. And I think Yeo's a better player. I think McGovern will be a better player. He had his niggles. So for all of those reasons, Prittis didn't play.
Lewis Jetta's been added to the mix.
Jetta played well. He didn't play well here against Hawthorn. So I just think that, they're so strong above their head as well, BT. Really, they've got really strong marks. Lysette looks like he's, you know, ready to go to the next level, although he'll probably get a week's holiday. They're the real deal for me, West Coast. I think that they're the premiership favourites.
Mm, the real premiership favourite.
Could you imagine ever sacking Nathan Buckley?
No problem at all. I've said this all along. I love Nathan Buckley. I love Mick Malthouse. I love Collingwood more than anything. My job is to be the president of the Collingwood Football Club. The board is for the success of the Collingwood Football Club. I'd have no hesitation in doing anything if it meant the Collingwood would win a game of football within the rules and within the bounds of decency as well.
Eddie Maguire on AFL 360 there with his comments, which I thought were ripped completely out of context. When Eddie said what he just said then, I immediately went, that means I'm the boss here and anyone that's not doing their job is in line to be sacked at some stage. And I would have thought that would have been an obvious statement for every employee of the club.
Totally agree with you, BT. I thought that he was being a strong leader in that, you know, if there needs to be a tough decision, I'll make it.
I'm the boss.
And that's how it is.
I didn't think he was lining Buckley up at all.
Not one bit. In actual fact, he then went on to say that he has no concerns whatsoever about Nathan Buckley doing the right thing by the Collingwood Footy Club. So I thought that there was nothing wrong with what he said.
To be fair, it would have been a bigger story and a more alarming story had Ed said, oh, no, Nathan's got a job for life. I could never sack Nathan Buckley. Well, yeah. Then we would have a problem. In my view.
Yeah.
But he's just saying, well, we assess him like we assess everyone.
So why didn't the rest of our colleagues in the media read it that way? Is it just a frantic thing these days that every little word, it's like Damien Hardwick's last week, we've got to take one step to go, you know, one step back to go two steps forward. I didn't read anything into that either.
Well, that was a slight change in the narrative, I reckon, in Hardwick's case. So because, you know, before the season, it was always about, you know, finishing top four, winning finals. Now, all of a sudden, there's a big take a half a step backwards.
No, that to me was a little change. I just read that as that night they took a step backwards. Next week, they'll take two forward. I didn't...
BT, we sit here and analyse people's body language. And we do all sorts of things these days. If his body language isn't right, we talk about that first.
Speaking of analysing, Kingy's the analyser. I was sitting with a group of my son's mates. There's one about 10 of them, all about, you know, 20, early 20s. And they just call him the analyser. They can't believe that he analyses the analyser. And he just overanalyzes.
There's no doubt. Very good. There's no doubt today is a big game for the Collingwood Football Club. It's huge. Maybe the most important game in Nathan Buckley's tenure so far. But I don't. And if they do lose, boy oh boy, it'll be a big week at Collingwood. But I'm not sure they're ready to tip Nathan Buckley out yet. I don't think the conversation's turned like that. Yes, they have extended his contract for 1 year, but I think there's months to go yet before they're starting to make any assessment on Nathan Buckley.
Well, we've got Gary Pert coming up shortly, the CEO.
Today is a massive day, though, clearly, because they have, structurally, they have leaked goals. They're playing their best player at halfback, not on ball. Yep. And when they've been in trouble, they've thrown him on ball. He's had no impact. So there's a variety of things today that they need to fix. Now, if they are not fixed today, Schwatter, and they leak goals again, then it's either the players are nuff-nuffs and are not following instructions, or the way they're setting up is just wrong.
Mm. Tyson Goldsack out of the side today, ill. In comes Jesse White, who they did play as a defender in the practice matches this year. So he'd be getting close to, how many more do we give him? Do you think or not?
Yeah.
Well, he took six intercept marks in the VFL last weekend and was best on. So he got a reward, good form.
Jay-Z. Yep.
No, he hasn't.
A big step up between dominating the VFL, where you should be dominating, coming in built like a bloke who should be commanding the forward 50 or defensive 50.
Better dominate the AFL rather than the VFL.
But that might be his go, is, you know, floating, reading it that way. Because at times as a forward, actually the defender that plays on him is normally the guy that takes intercept marks for the opposition, because they play off him, Schwatter, and he leads to positions that he's not being used, and therefore they're able to, you know, have a big influence. So maybe that's his position, because I agree with you. I think athletically he's super quick,
well built,
and all of that. So he should be getting more out of himself.
Crisp, I think, finished high in their best and fairest last year, maybe third or fourth. He hasn't really fired a shot for them. No. They've got a lot of players down, haven't they?
He's been poor. And that on-ball grouping, with a lot of talk about it. Chalor comes in. They got Greenwood last year. Crisp from Brisbane. You know, there was a lot of excitement about that added midfield depth. James Aish as well. Fair to say that midfield group has not clicked just yet.
All about ball use, BT. Yep. And they haven't got elite users. Yep. And in today's game, and we've spoken about the ball Bulldogs already losing two of theirs.
Yep.
It is just so important. And you look at
Richmond.
Richmond. Yep. No, that's right. And it's just that's what's letting the Pies down a lot.
That said, Duck, they have been missing Varco. Steel Sidebottom hasn't been playing the past 2 weeks.
No, they're big ins.
As well.
They're big ins.
They're both good ball users.
Yep. Yeah. And yep. And today, Collingwood is 2 years on average and 30 games more experience than Melbourne. So, in my view, there is no excuses. They must win today, Collingwood.
Yep.
Yep.
Has anyone picked Melbourne?
Yeah, I have.
You're expecting Melbourne to win today?
Yep. I based it off the back of Collingwood leaking goals, and I haven't seen anything that's going to really fix that. And Melbourne kicking 20 last week and taking the game on. So form, I think Melbourne's in a little bit better form, even though they got beaten a couple of weeks ago by Essendon.
What are we going to say if Melbourne lose? Is there much to that?
That's how they lose.
Right.
They lose.
And Vince out today hurts them. Where Collingwood's got a couple of big ins, Melbourne's got a big out there with Vince. He sets them up across halfback. He's huge. I mean, I think Viney's almost becoming their best player, aside from Hogan, but Vince is an absolutely critical across
Gawn
halfback.
Gawn plays a massive part today. Mm. He's. I think Gawn is slowly starting to believe in himself that he can be an elite ruckman in this competition. He was brilliant last week, Swatter. You know what I generally think of ruckman, mm-hmm. but he had a massive influence. Got forward, took marks down back, but his hits to advantage, BT, were just, he put it down Viney's throat on three or four occasions. And the other big in, obviously, today, who has gone back and had at least a full game, is Brayshaw. He'll have a bigger influence today. So I think he covers a little bit of Bernie Vince going out. Brayshaw coming back in sort of covers that a little for them.
Mason Cox not far away from a debut as well, playing just across the road here today, over there at the Holden Centre. The Collingwood VFL side are playing. I noticed when I drove past, there was a big crowd over there. I reckon there was maybe 3,000 over there watching that game over there. It was seemed to be a great atmosphere. Now, just before we go to the break, and I know Gary Pert's coming up very shortly here, the CEO of the Collingwood Football Club. If I ever see, like I saw last night, the Oz Kickers forced to play in the pre-game, that is before anyone's in the venue.
Yep.
And you could say, okay, if we had Madonna performing at halftime, or Michael Jackson all of a sudden appeared live again out in the middle of Etihad Stadium, you could excuse the Oz Kickers being pushed to the pre-game.
Hmm, they got bumped.
But when I arrived there last night and saw the Oz Kickers playing pre-game, I'm thinking, well, bloody, you know, Elvis Presley must be on at halftime or something. Because then when I got to halftime and I saw that there were these AFL nines, a mature age men and women playing AFL nines instead of the Oz Kickers, the kids in front of the crowd, I reckon, I know it's about advertising the fact there's AFL nines, but that's a disgrace. You cannot push the kids who are playing Oz Kick in front of a crowd to pre-game where there's no crowd. They actually have to open up a gate to allow the parents to come in early because they haven't actually opened the gates at the venue yet. It is not right. What is going on when we've got people like you, Swatter, or Duck, or Jay-Z, running around at half-time getting a buzz out of it instead of the kiddies? Interesting, yesterday we were working with our great mate Spud, of course, and he's overactive at the moment, Spud, isn't he? He's certainly having a lot to say. I was listening to the Triple M call yesterday afternoon. Fine one it was. Duck, you were in the special comments chair. Didn't hear a lot of you. Heard a lot of Spud. Has a man ever uttered so many words in a day than our mate Spud?
Oh, he's up and about, isn't he? Yep. He's doing a good job. He's doing a good job, and makes your job very easy back here, BT, when Spud's up and about like he is.
Yeah, no, he's a character, that is for sure. Spud at the moment, he's going very, very nicely. Hey, women's footy. We touched on this yesterday, Swatter. You may or may not have heard of it. We had Gillon McLachlan, the CEO of the AFL, on yesterday on the Saturday Rub. And we were speaking about women's footy and where that was at the moment. And he surprised me, Jay-Z, because I initially thought, and everyone thought, there were only going to be 6 women's teams in this national competition, which starts next year. And he basically alluded to the fact it looks like they're going to go with 8. I was worried about the standard of the competition because everyone will remember last year that exhibition game, Melbourne and the Western Bulldogs. And what a lot of people don't know, they were the best 44 players in Australia. So while that was of great standard and was entertaining to watch, you've then got to spread that talent through 8 teams now. And I'm just a little worried that, you know, you don't want to scare people off at the start with a poor standard.
Well, it's going to be diluted. You're right. The AFL is confident that there's enough quality there to get around eight teams, but primarily, none of the clubs want to be left out in this. Everyone wants a piece of the women's action because it's a very fast sort of growing part of the game, and, you know, there are commercial benefits as well at stake here, and Collingwood is just one of a number of clubs trying to secure this women's licence.
Yeah, so we'll definitely talk about that. It is going to be on next year. 2017 is the start of that competition. As Gil said, eight teams to kick it off next year. He said that basically every Melbourne team had been sent, this is what we need you to do if you want to apply for a licence to run one of these women's teams. And
so it's not just limited to the Victorian teams, though, is it?
No, it's interstate. They want the interstate teams definitely to be involved.
I wonder what it would be worth to a club by way of new memberships, new revenue, with regards to a women's team part of that footy
club. Well, we've got the man that can answer all of those questions. He's the CEO of the Collingwood Football Club. Gary Peart joins us. Welcome to you, Gaz.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
Very good.
Very good. Just talking about the women's comp there, just as you arrived. I know that you guys will be keen to be involved in that. How far down the track are you?
Well, we're very committed to actually have one of the first licences, and in simple terms, we're ready to go. So we're putting in our application to the AFL. We have sponsors on board. We're actually even talking to players and coaches at the moment. We've got the brand new facilities. The players could run out and play a game right at the moment. And
right.
Our ambitions are for the women's team to be playing before our VFL games and potentially even before our AFL games at one stage.
And does it have to be completely standalone? For instance, their own sponsors, their own admin, their own staff to run the place, or can you use both?
Well, there'll certainly be we'll put it this way, the sponsors that are wanting to get involved are our existing sponsors. And they've been really good talking to us to say, as soon as this was an agenda item, they said, we want to be part of it. And so Holden and CGU, La Trobe Financial, they're saying, let us know what we want to do. And we were touching on before about what it means to a club to have one of the teams. And we want to be, and I think we are in so many different ways, a fully inclusive club. Collingwood, we want supporters. Everyone's welcome to be part of it, but there is an element of saying at an elite level only the men can come through and play, and we want to give that opportunity to young women players and some of these young athletes that we're chatting to. I cannot tell you how passionate and how committed they are to play and be part of it, but we want to see those players and coaches and administrators come through and create this really nice diverse balance for the Collingwood Footy Club.
Now, the best player in Australia, Daisy Pearce, there's been a little rumour circulating here, Purdy, that you were spotted at Florentino's having lunch with Daisy as a recruitment ploy to try and nail the best player in the country. Have you made any contact with the number one female player in the country?
I don't want to stir up any controversy, so I will say no comment.
Hey, Purdy, what would it be worth if you do get the licence and you've got additional revenue and you've got potentially new memberships coming out of a dedicated women's team?
Well, we're not looking at it in financial terms right at the moment.
But it would be a consideration, though. Surely it has to be.
You look at it in two parts. In the short term, we can see already that this will be a break-even. It will actually fund itself. In the long term, in the ability to sponsors to come on and sponsor programs that are diverse across men and women and for the membership, and so many of our supporters have already contacted the club to say, I love the fact that we're going to be going for one of the licences, that I'm proud of my club. So there's no doubt that that'll be an element of helping us grow our membership. And also, a lot of people are saying, as soon as we have a team, we want to come along and watch it too. So it's not only an interest factor, we want to see the women go out there. And if we do it, we're going to do it properly. So we're going to want to win it and be successful, and that's where we're planning.
We're talking about the Nathan Buckley comments just before Purdy, and we sort of thought that it would be a bigger story if Eddie Maguire said, well, Bucks has got a job for life, and that Noah wouldn't be prepared to sack him ever, even if we were performing. Did you think we made too much, or the media made too much about him saying he'd be prepared to sack Nathan Buckley if that he warranted it?
Well, I heard the interview, and what Ed said was what I would like to think every single president would say, which is, and they shouldn't be in the role if they can't say this, is I would make decisions with my board that are in the best interests of the club.
Yep.
And then he went on and said, but we support the whole program, the whole footy program. We've got so much talent in there. We've got a great list. We're not performing on field right at the moment. And in there was we held our own with the top teams last year. We've brought new team talent in, and we've been playing well in the preseason. We've had some injuries, and we've had some, you know, a key suspension to Saidi, and we've had to shuffle the team around. And we've seen the last couple of weeks we've been playing players out of position. We've been playing first gamers. We haven't been able to do that well and play the style of footy we want. But the players are saying we want the opportunity. Not Nathan Buckley. He can't kick a goal out there today. The players want the opportunity to get out there and play the way we've practiced all pre-season and actually get back to that form, build the momentum, and our ambition is still to be playing in the finals this year.
That said, you very much well expect to win today, don't you? This is very much a winnable game for the Collingwood Footy Club.
Well, I've got to be honest, I don't ever come to the game not expecting to win. You know, sometimes everyone else agrees with me, but there's times like today where the one thing I do know is the players, all the staff, the entire club understands this is a really important game to start rebuilding that momentum. And, you know, you get to that point, all of a sudden we're 2-2 and we're in the mix with everyone else. That's the opportunity we've got today.
Purdy, is it the style that you're playing at the moment, do you believe, or is it just the fact that the players aren't carrying out instructions correctly? How do you see it?
Well, I've watched the strategy that we have in place to play this year. I've watched it in the preseason, and it has beaten the Bulldogs, it's beaten Geelong, it's been fast moving, high tempo, scoring lots of goals. It's actually been the style of game that I think will get us into the finals, but it will be successful in the finals. That's really important that you're playing that style of footy. The players would be the first one to say they're not executing and therefore they're letting down. And we see the nature of the game now where it's whole teams of players moving at once. So you need one or two players. Sometimes they're playing out of position or they've moved to the other end of the ground or it might be their first game. If they let down one section of the ground, all of a sudden it breaks open. And that's what happened against St Kilda, where they consistently got it over the top because they picked the holes. And they played very well and we gave them too many opportunities, and that needs to change.
Well, there's an article in today's Herald Sun, Purdy, with Jeremy Howe talking about, amongst other things, Bucks' care for the players and his relationships with the players. If Travis Cloke's form continued to be poor, and we hope that that's not the case from a Collingwood point of view, is Bucks brave enough to pull the trigger if he felt that it was the right thing for Travis and the team for him to go and have a game in the VFL?
Simple answer, yes.
Purdy, the drugs issue. This time last year, you've been stronger, and I think everyone commends you for the role you've played in this discussion, because it's good we're talking about it. You said that when Lachie Keefe and Josh Thomas were done for the computer role, that this was a warning to the rest of the football world and we should all take heed of this. Now, nearly 12 months on, are you confident that we have learnt and that we are progressing, or has it got worse, this illicit drugs issue? Because you would know in black and white what those numbers look like and what that timeline looks like over the past 2 or 3 years. So have we improved in that, or is it getting worse?
Well, at the time I actually said I hope it's a lesson for all professional athletes in all sports. And I don't get the figures of the other clubs and other sports, but what I do know, because I talk to enough people about this, I'm not saying if it's getting better and worse, because I don't get that sort of data. What I do know is it's still a problem, and that's and I think everyone gets that. The Players Association, the AFL, we all still get that. So this will be a challenge, a long-term challenge. I don't think it's ever going to be solved, or this battle's going to be, we've won the battle. This is something that we deal with and manage, and it's an ongoing thing. But it's still a problem, yes.
Go on. I was just going to say, you're happy with the more recent changes? You think we're in a stronger position to deal with it, with a tougher policy?
Yeah, I have no doubt, and I take my hat off to the Players Association, the AFL, that they actually made the changes when the industry raised this, and they made some changes. And at that point, they said also this will be part of an ongoing program to review it, and maybe other changes are made down the field. And I think that's a really responsible way to go about it, because there's not a unified view on this as an industry. And so you've got to keep on taking all the views. And I want to encourage to make sure that the industry does keep on debating it. I'm not going to pretend that I've got all the answers, and it is being debated, and I think that's very good, because anything that is in the best interests of the health of the players while they're playing and their life after their footy, I'm going to champion that.
Home game for the Pies today. So, Purdy, when you finish this interview, you'll go down, you'll waltz downstairs into the president's lunch down there, and you'll shake a few hands and stuff. And then when the game is about to get underway, you'll come out to the terraces here. You'll sit about three or four seats up from where Eddie sits. So you're just out of the camera sort of zone. So no one can see what's going on with you, but they can see what's going on with Eddie. Do you have to lean over to Eddie every now and then, and Carla, who's there with him, and the kids, and just say, steady, you're on the box here, and we just need to keep this a little bit tidy, or do you just keep out of that completely?
Well, you know Ed, he's such a good listener. Can you imagine during the game when it's, you know, a goal the difference, and I say, Ed, can you settle down? You know, it's not that big a deal. No, Ed does his own thing. He's sitting up there. I quite often sit in front of him for one reason, and that is that no one else will sit in that spot. So it either goes empty or I take the spot.
I actually sat close a few weeks ago, and there was an older former player, you know, played in the 50s, 60s, and there was a... And Peter Moore was sitting in front, and Darcy had done something wrong or something, and this older player had really gone off at Darcy, and he didn't realise that Peter Moore was sitting one seat in front of him, and Moore's turned around and glared at him. I don't think the guy still got it, but anyway.
Look, I must admit there has been times where I've mentioned to the board, you've got to keep in mind there's actually families and girlfriends of the players around.
Exactly.
Because it's an emotional time, you know, it's a big game, and everyone gets fired up about it, especially when it's close games, but all the board and Ed, they love it so much, and I love the fact that they enjoy it, so he can go for it.
Duck, who was your toughest opponent?
They're all tough. The player that you're coming up against that particular week.
Because Purdy was
that's
my
the
toughest
political answer.
Purdy was my toughest opponent. Kick six on him in one quarter.
You know what? Every time I do an interview, it started off at three, then it was four, five, and it's finally got to six. So anyway, I'll see you next time. It'll be seven or eight.
Gary Peart, the CEO of the Collingwood Football Club, good enough to give us a couple of minutes. Good luck today, Purdy.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Collingwood play Melbourne here at the MCG today. A beautiful day it is. By the way, Brisbane last night defeated Gold Coast. Western Bulldogs defeated Carlton. And Adelaide defeated Sydney by just 10 points at a buzzing Adelaide Oval. Tom Lynch is on the line. He kicked three goals in last night's game. And he joins us on Triple M Footy. Tom, congratulations on the form so far of you and the team.
Yeah, thanks very much. Obviously, thanks for having me firstly. And it was obviously pleasing to get the result last night. It was a great atmosphere at the Oval once again, over 50,000, and it was great to be on the winning side of the ledger.
So how do you gauge it? 13 wins last year, you've lost to North and you've beaten Port, Richmond and Sydney. Where do you think you're placed right now?
Yeah, look, I'm not too sure. I mean, you know, we sort of even the first game of the year, we sort of felt like we let that one get away from us. You know, so can't afford to have too many of those go the wrong way. So obviously last night was a really important win for us. I feel like we're well placed, but obviously we've got to turn around pretty quickly and get ready for the running premiers on Friday night. So that'll be a huge test for us, but one we're ready for.
Tom, it's a Jay Clark here at the moment. Your forward line is absolutely on fire and you're a key part of that. But who has the biggest strut up at the moment? Is it Eddie Betts or your skipper? Because I imagine their chest would be right out at the minute.
Yeah, look, I'm going to go... someone else out of that group, but it's probably Josh Jenkins. He's getting a fair bit of airtime at the minute. He's finding himself on game day, and he's certainly letting us know about it too. But it's obviously it's great being able to play with those guys, especially, and then obviously the emergence of Wayne Malia and Mitch McGovern as well. You know, it's just really enjoyable playing in a forward line, which is so unselfish at the minute.
Tom, there's obviously a lot of talk about the forward line, but it's made easy when you have a good defence and a defence that's prepared to run and carry the footy, because the game opens up and more or less when that ball's being moved quickly, it makes you lead to the right spots. The game really opens and does make it easy up there, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They've had a great start of the year, the backline group, and you know, really gelling well as a team. You know, their ability to get up the ground and be a part of the team defence and sort of lock it in our half has been, I felt like it was a real feature for us last night and throughout the year thus far. So they've been outstanding, obviously led by Daniel Talia and Brody Smith down there. They've just been super, and obviously the supply they're giving us, you know, certainly makes our job a lot easier.
Hey, Tommy, congratulations on the win last night. Sydney seemed to play a similar style to you, so do the Bulldogs, so do Hawthorn.
Do you think that that's a reflection of those particular teams, or is this the way the modern game in 2016 is being played, where there's greater scoring emphasis as opposed to the lockdown style that we've been used to?
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I think it'll work itself out sort of halfway through the year. Does it become more stoppage game again? I'm not too sure. But certainly last night wasn't like that. It was, you know, up and back and pretty free-flowing football, which is normally not what you get with it when you play against Sydney. But, you know, they've got a really experienced midfield and got some real bulls inside there. So we really had to match them on the inside and also try to get them on the outside. So, I certainly know the last 5 to 10 minutes everyone was out on their feet, and you know, it was great for the fans and great for footy. But I was certainly pleased when the siren blew, because we're pretty exhausted.
Tom, congratulations on the birth of your first child last weekend. Am I right?
Second child. Yeah.
Second child. Excuse me. What did you have? What is the name?
I had a little baby girl last week. Yeah, it was obviously interesting circumstances how that played out.
How did that play out? Because you were playing footy at, you were named in the team, obviously, and you were a late withdrawal.
Yeah, I got the phone call about 2 o'clock in the morning on Saturday morning, so I had to get on the first flight home and get back here to be with Courtney. So, yeah, that was an interesting few hours.
You couldn't organise that a little better, or
it wasn't the best organisation. Yeah, if I had my time again, we would have plan things differently.
Seen it once, seen it all the time.
Hey, Tommy, you signed a new deal at Adelaide last year, and congratulations on that. But how strong was the interest from Melbourne? Because there was a period late last year where you're in demand.
Yeah, obviously, I never really wanted to leave Adelaide Crows. You know, they gave me a great opportunity a few years back now, coming over here. And, I love it here, love the guys I play with, and all the support staff at the club. It was just a matter of making sure, obviously being interstate, making sure I was able to secure the length of deal I was after. It was one of those things that played out probably a little bit longer than I'd hoped. But, there were stages, obviously, where I didn't think it was going to get done. And, you have to weigh up all your options. But I left that mainly to Paul Connors, my manager. And, I'm thankful that I was able to sign here.
Tom Lynch, we are speaking to on Triple M Football from the Adelaide Crows. Now, Tom, Wayne Carey always mentions Jeremy McGovern, of course. You mentioned Mitch McGovern, his younger brother, there before, and Duck's sort of a little bit worried about Jeremy's sort of non-defined body. It's just there's no definition at all. Does his younger brother, Mitch, have any definition, or is he a model of his bigger brother?
No, Mitch certainly does have a lot of definition. I'm not too sure. Maybe, I think... Jeremy, I know he's very strong. I've had to play on him in the past. Duck might have found one there. But Mitch is definitely a great athlete, and has been super since he's come into the side this year. You know, he sort of feel like he's been playing for a long time, but he's only played the 4 games. So he's brought great energy to our group, and his improvement has been really special.
My boy from Romsey, and Swatter's boy from Romsey, Jakey Lever, he's playing like he's Daniel Talia. He's playing like he's played 100 games. He's played less than 20, I think, perhaps even a dozen. He's going real well and looks real confident in what he's trying to achieve in the back half.
Yeah, look, he's nailed it on the head there. He feels, or it looks like he's played 50 to 100 games. He's fearless. He's got great confidence, in his game, but also, gives that off to the rest of the boys back in the back half. So, he's been a great find for us, and, I'm glad that he's on our team, because, when you play on him in the summer, you're pretty eager to get off the track. So,
tell you what, if his dad got older, you'd be glad you didn't play on his dad as well.
Just get out of the way. Was there any boxing training over the summer months? Because Jakey can go all right in the ring.
There was a little bit, but I certainly stayed well clear of Jake. He can certainly go right in the ring, a few others.
He's got some loose cannons going on there, Jakey Lever.
Lynchy, you've been in touch with Paddy Dangerfield. By any chance, just said to the former Brent midfielder that perhaps you don't need him?
Yeah, look, obviously I'm a close mate of Pat's, and I'm in constant dialogue with him and letting him know that I'm glad he's gone, but no, obviously... Pat's obviously a quality player. I know there's been a little bit of noise in the media about that, but we'd obviously still love to have him, but that was the decision he made, and you know, we have to move on. You know, he's a Geelong player now. But, you know, our midfield, we feel like we're going really well at the moment. You know, Rory Sloan started the year fantastic, as have Scott Thompson, Matt Crouch and those guys. So, you know, we're getting a good balance and even contribution in there at the minute.
Well, you are, Tom, and you're going well. Three goals last night, a showdown medal, a little baby daughter, even though I probably would have stayed up there and played the game of football myself. But it's all going well for you, mate. Congratulations on your form, firstly, and your team's form is playing wonderfully attractive football at the moment. Good on you.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
Hang on a minute. I've just received a tweet from Mrs. Swass.
What?
Please don't bully Wayne at work anymore.
I'll turn it up, Brian.
And Mrs. Duck. Please go easy on the duck. He doesn't deserve to be bullied. This is what Brooke did to Koch.
Here he goes.
In the paper
Another
today.
Another editorial coming up. Jason.
So what is going on? Front page of today's Herald Sun, headlines, leave him alone. Admittedly, you know, Koch and his Mrs. Brooke don't write the headlines. But Trent Cotchin's wife, Brooke, has fiercely defended her embattled husband, saying the Tiger skipper is being bullied and will not step down. Well, here, I agree with that. I reckon he's been fantastic. I reckon he's a fantastic leader. But interesting take on it, that the wife would step in.
Well, would you be happy with that, fellas? You guys played the game. If you guys were out of form and were copping a bit of criticism, would you be happy if your wife made an Instagram post that went around the national newspapers?
Here we go, Duck.
What it does, look, I think it's fantastic that, and you know, she's sticking up for her partner, and he's obviously, and the rest of the family, but I don't think he would like the fact that it has become public and is now on the front page of the paper, because it just attracts more attention to it. And as we know, people out there, it'll only be magnified more now because of the fact that that's occurred.
How do you think that first conversation would have went, BT, when Trent seen the Instagram post and then seen the front page treatment?
Oh.
It'd be a friendly sort of combo. Oh, thanks for that, Dale.
Look, it probably would have, because he's that sort of guy. Brooke stands by her man. And all of the quotes there, it's unusual. Oh, I think it's probably a bit of a beat-up story, isn't it?
Well, I think the issue some people are having trouble getting their heads around is that Koch is not an overly vocal, demonstrative, super physical sort of leader. And I think, we all want to see that person have a real physical presence.
What's wrong is he's having a crack and he's playing good footy, and it seems that the onus and the blame is going upon him for Richmond's form.
Why is that?
Well, it shouldn't be.
The print journals in particular lining up Trent Cotchin.
Well,
when I reckon he's doing a good job. And guess what?
So do I.
None of them even know him.
No.
Forming these judgments.
I totally agree. And I thought on Friday night it was their captain. It was Jack Riewoldt. And Rance can all walk off there and say, you know what, we...
And his week before was outstanding as well, Trent Cotchin.
Yes.
See, so the people that want him to be something that he's not don't understand that he can only be who he is. He's not going to be that demonstrative type of player. And we make a judgment based on 2 hours every weekend from what we see. What we don't
tell you
get
what,
to see
I reckon
is Richmond, during the week.
The best advice.
If Richmond put him in front of a potential sponsor or an existing sponsor, I reckon they would be rapt with the result they get out of Trent Cotchin.
The best advice you can give anyone if they ask you about what type of leader they are, or how to go about leadership, the best advice I could give is be yourself. Mm. Don't try to be something you're not. And so to all of a sudden try to manufacture being demonstrative or loud or all that, it comes across as fake and it doesn't work. So be yourself, be the best person for yourself, and that's exactly what he does, and he does it well.
Okay, leaving Cotchin aside, leadership we think is good, playing good. So leaving that aside, where are Richmond at? 1-3.
It's their style of play, BT. They overused it the other night, giving handballs to stationary targets with their backs to the goals.
They tried in the first 5 minutes of the game. They tried, didn't they?
So it was a double whammy. They played poorly, and they clearly didn't execute their skills well. And West Coast were absolutely magnificent with their pressure, the way they came up and pressured them. So it was a double whammy for me. Richmond have to get their game going. I don't think they've played good footy. In actual fact, last week against Adelaide Swatter,
15 minutes.
They played some good footy, they just weren't allowed to play good footy against West Coast the other night, and it was in the manner of the overhand ball, which Damien Hardwick said in his press conference after the game, that it's been a concern for him this year, just, you know, putting players under more pressure than the player with the footy rather than kicking it.
And you said before their opponents, West Coast, have improved.
Yep.
Have Richmond improved? Well, or gone backwards? Is it too early?
I think it's too early to say whether they've gone backwards or improved yet. Early signs are saying they're not playing good footy at the moment, obviously.
2.5 elite kickers in that team.
Who are they?
Deledio not playing.
Yep.
Damien Martin.
Yep.
Dustin Martin, I should say. And I'm going to throw Basher Hooley in there.
Well, Basher Hooley's their best when they're not playing. But Yaron's probably the best of them all.
Not sighted. Don't know when he'll come back.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
I actually think that, to Duck's point before, that there's a lot of unfair criticism being directed at Trent Cotchin. We know that Alex Rance is a leader out there. Jack Redolt, not in the leadership group, but he is a natural leader. Beyond that, I don't see leadership from many other players. I think there's almost an acceptance. And I question some of the decisions with regards to the recruitment. Maric is a massive out. He's the other leader who hasn't been playing for the Tigers at the moment. And Shawnee Hampson, with all due respect to him, is a C-grade battler at the best of it. They haven't been aggressive enough outside of Yaron to go and get some elite midfielders with good finishing skills and speed on the outside. And I think their recruiting has been a bit suspect, which makes me question, Jay-Z, whether or not they've overrated their list over the last 3 years. They have not won a final under Dimmer Hardwick. And based on what they're playing at the moment, I don't see them making the finals.
They spin it. So the last 3 years, home and away, 5th, 8th, 5th. Right? Yep. So that's pretty good. 15 wins, was it, last year?
Yep.
Yep. So that's a good year, Swatter. They've gone up. I know they haven't won a final. I get that. Okay? So they haven't played their best footy in that first week. But they've improved in the home and away every year under Hardwick. Now they've got off to a poor start, and that's why I'm not prepared to write the Tigers off, because the last 3 years will tell you that they can get on a run and they can string wins together. And they'll be hoping that starts next Sunday evening, twilight footy
against Melbourne. And if that goes poorly, then the Bunsen burner will certainly be turned up.
Yeah.
Can I ask you about Dustin Martin? Damien Hardwick, the coach this week, said they're cool with him going over to New Zealand to visit his father, who has been deported over alleged links to a motorcycle group. The authorities doing stringent character testing on that front. Are we okay with the club allowing him to do that, however, X amount of times throughout the season, just to spend a couple of days over in New Zealand? Is that good management?
No problem here.
Irrespective of what the issue is, it's his father. And I think that's a reflection of the modern footballer now, isn't it?
The other question you'd ask is, how long is it going to go on? Is this a temporary thing? Are you just going to be going back for a couple of weeks, or is this going to go on all year?
I think the Martin camp are pretty hopeful that he will be back sooner rather than later, but there's no guarantees on that, I think.
Yeah. I reckon we'd have a lot more sympathy, to put it bluntly, we'd have a lot more sympathy if his dad wasn't part of this alleged bikie group. We'd be saying there's no problem with it at all, but all of a sudden, because it is, we're sort of all half thinking, oh well, it's not the right thing to do. It's his dad, as you've just pointed out. It's his dad, you know.
And he was probably a little bit down last week, Duck. You saw him on Friday night. But do we think this could be affecting his form? I mean, this is a significant event in a young man's life, isn't it?
Oh, you'd have to ask him that. But I think his form's been, I think he's been okay. He wasn't their worst on Friday night. Certainly started very well. But, like most of the Tiger players, and it's a night they'll want to forget very quickly.
Well, didn't the Magpies allow Dane Beams to spend some time going up to see his dad, who was quite sick at the time, before going to visit?
Yep, they did.
It's no different,
Yep.
I think Ivan Marek, after a second run around in the VFL yesterday, is due to come back. So they get some reinforcement.
They were hesitant to play him over in Perth, number one. Yep. Number two, he hadn't played a game. You know, on the big oval over there, I can understand why they didn't go with him in the end. I want to ask you the question, round the table, Swatter. Richmond, will they equal their number of wins from last year, 15?
No.
They won't?
No.
They're going backwards?
Yeah.
Duck, 15 wins last year?
Oh, that'll be hard to do.
Hard to do.
I think going backwards because their coach told us they're going backwards last week. So I think
I still think they can play finals footy, BT.
Just the one thing I want to say about Trent Cotchin, Damien Hardwick in the press conference in Perth after that game, where he said, I think he used the word broken, the process, broken. It's a not such a great choice of words, I reckon.
No.
Because it brings attention onto that part of the game. What's broken, is it?
What was the answer to the question?
Wasn't it you about 10 minutes ago saying that why do we hang on any little thing that sometimes people say or do, and then we blow it into a big story?
Because in that situation there...
And now you're saying he used one bad word, and you're saying broken. And
you got him, Duck.
Turning that into a big story, BT.
Well, if I was there, I would have not used the term broken. I would have said it's...
Well, maybe it was a slip of the...
It needs to be fixed.
It was a slip of the tongue, maybe, BT. Let's not blow it into...
What,
something bigger than
you
what it is.
You look at me with those eyes and that wobble head any longer. Let's go around the grounds for a quickie.
It's all GWS at halftime up by 61 points. Boys, this is a big story. We've had Richmond in the crosshairs for a couple of weeks now. Port Adelaide 2, talking about teams going backwards, have failed to fire. 5-3, 33 to the Giants on fire, 14-10, 94 up by 61 points at halftime.
How did I fall into Port Adelaide?
Hey?
Poor, how did
well,
I fall
been
into
in good
Port
touch?
Adelaide? No, they haven't.
Yes, they
have.
They
were terrible last week.
No, last week I thought they had a real crack.
They were terrible.
44
against Essendon, they played a good period in the first quarter, and then they were pretty ordinary.
Inside 50 count, BT, what is it?
For who? In which game?
Giants and the Port Adelaide game.
It's 44-15.
Unbelievable stuff.
44-15.
Yep.
They are going for the world record
lowest,
Port Adelaide.
Yep.
Robbo's been out and about, and it's the first time we speak to him today. Welcome to you, Robbo.
Thanks, BT. And, a big lunch, Collingwood, because of the Melbourne-Collingwood game. It's a traditional game, and they're all there. And
they play each other twice in the first half of the year, you know.
Yeah, they do. Mm. They do. And I know you're full of nostalgia, BT. And
yes.
The great Peter McKenna, another great full forward, was at the table with Barry Price, used to feed him up, lace up. But Neil Danaher was in there because of the Melbourne feel, and Eddie Maguire, the president, made a massive deal about Ron Barassi, who's turned 80, and he made all the kids in the room. There's about 25 kids in the room, BT, in the president's luncheon.
Well, I think it's a special day for kids, though, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and he made them all stand up and say, look at this great man, you'll remember this guy later on in your journey. But... he didn't say too much about Nathan Buckley until right at the end. He didn't want to get too political. And I think we've got a bit of a sniffer on what he actually said.
There have been some things written about our coach, Nathan Buckley, during the week. There's a lot of Ron Barassi and Nathan Buckley, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen. And I can just say this. No person has given more of himself to the Collingwood Football Club than Nathan Buckley. And I don't care what headlines or how people try to extrapolate comments when you're trying to be honest about things or whatever. Let there be no mistaking that the Collingwood Football Club stands united. We stand side by side, we stick together. And today, whatever happens out on the ground, I can guarantee you we'll be giving our all.
That they're not just words. I actually genuinely believe that Eddie Maguire is supporting Nathan Buckley to the tape.
Right. Well, he's said it in front of all the main people down there. So good work, Robbo. You're going to head down the boundary now?
Yeah, beautiful. I've got your wine oil and the board shorts. I'm going down there now.
Yeah, fantastic day. Not a cloud in the sky out there at the moment. Probably a little underdressing, Robbo, heading down there at this stage. Time for the duck shoot, boys.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get ready for the duck shoot. Because now we're going to... go to the duck shoot. North Melbourne has its 20-year premiership reunion this year. Duck, will you go?
Yes, if I can.
Give us a good Boomer Harvey story.
Good Boomer Harvey story. Boomer wasn't one of the great runners when he was younger, so I remember saying to him, if he was ever going to be any good BT, he'd have to beat me around Princess Park, and I'll never forget the day that he did.
Really?
Yeah, he got me up the straight, and he's still going now. He's a remarkable player.
And you didn't tell him you'd come off for 24 hour.
He people are saying this this week. Someone said, I think it might have been KB, he could play 500.
Yeah, I heard that.
I don't think he'd play 500, but I think he'll play another year, Swatter.
Yeah, he's playing good footy. Hey, what happens if Freo lose to the Kangaroos today, Duck?
They'll be zipping four.
Yep. Anything else?
They'll be in a little bit of trouble.
No, by the way, no Sanderlands, four ribs plated, one rib removed.
I heard you say that. Is that actual fact? They removed a rib.
It is actual fact. So for the people in West Australia, they need to wake up.
You can do that.
Yeah, of course you can. They remove them because they can't put two plates into a rib because the middle part will still be floppy. That's why they remove them. But on top of that, Harley Bunnell now out until at least the bye weekend. So it's halfway through the year.
8 to 10.
Yep. Mm.
Duck, do we give Essendon a tick to this point?
Absolutely. Massive tick. I think they've been a real surprise packet in the way they've gone about it. You cannot question the fact that they are trying to follow Woosh's instructions and they are doing it to a T. And they are more than competitive.
Not for finals, but for the flag, given Johannesson will need surgery on the hamstring, gone most of the year, Robert Murphy gone all year, can they still win the flag?
I say this: if you make the eight, you can win the flag, VT. Mm-hmm. And I stand by. And I know it hasn't been done, but I think if you give yourself a chance, so if they make the eight, then yes, they can. But it becomes increasingly harder with those types of injuries.
What's the best bake you ever gained? You ever gave Schwatter on the field? Do you remember really giving it to him?
Didn't have to. He was just a wonderful, skillful. Electric,
perfect.
Flamboyant player.
I wouldn't have listened anyway.
He didn't. Schwatter was very cheeky.
So they're talking about playing a game in China. If we go back a few years to your day, when you were in the midst of, your day, how would it have gone in China for North Melbourne and you?
What sort of questions are?
I mean, China's a big place, but would you have left it in ruins? Or?
Next question.
If you're the Melbourne player who gets Jeremy Howe today, what would you be saying? What are some of the things you'd be saying to Howie?
Oh, I think there's still room, BT, for banter. And I know Michael Voss was one of the very good ones. Yeah. And there are players that, you know, like giving a little bit. I think, you know, the likes of Viney and these guys would be saying to him, especially if they're in the game, you know, why'd you leave? You know, it's just friendly banter. You try to get in to people's heads so that they don't perform well. And if they think they can do that to Jeremy today, they'll do it.
I'd be trying to call him Frisbee for the whole game.
Been to any good restaurants lately, Duck? You do fancy yourself as a restaurant critic.
I went to Silk's.
Oh, yes, at Crown.
Yes, very nice.
Chinese.
Bit of Chinese, yeah. Very nice.
What, sweet and sour pork job? Or?
I don't have the sweet and sour pork. A little bit fattening, BT.
All right. What do you go for? The teppanyaki chicken?
Yeah. That's Japanese. Oh, right.
By the way, winter's just about upon us. We're in the middle of autumn, as you would know. Things grow in autumn, but has anything grown on your block of land yet?
My block is looking like the MCG. It is very...
Has your famous neighbour moved in yet?
It is greening up. No, I haven't run into him, but we'll do that soon, Swatter.
All right, time now for Tell Me Something You Don't Already Know. This is a hard-hitting segment where we tell you something you don't already know, strangely enough. What do you got, Jay-Z?
There's a Collingwood midfielder out there running around at the moment who has carried a significant enough knee injury throughout the first three rounds. Now, he's a younger Collingwood midfielder who's played quite well, considering that he has copped a knock early doors and is just gritting his teeth through it. And it's a very good effort that he's still playing out there with the rest of the guys.
Who is it?
Can't say, but he's
give us his number.
He's a bit of a goey, isn't he?
Let's just say he's a younger one. He's a younger one.
Is he the goey?
What have you got, BT?
Mm-hmm. Swatter?
Yes, the China game.
China, yep.
Yep. There's a certain executives from a northern club that is more than keen to sell a home game and get over there and play against Port Adelaide. More than a passing interest.
They've already played a game in Shanghai. Brisbane played Melbourne in Shanghai. I was at that
very
game.
Very, very keen to get
that
back,
was the famous Brendan Favola.
Yes.
A roll-up.
Yes, please.
Pretty on it.
Mm. How does Port Adelaide get away with that? So they say, oh, we want to play in China, but it can't be one of our home games. Look, I don't get that. Surely.
What point in playing games in China? In that last game in China... Oh, look, I might be going, so I should shut up. Could be a junket. Who knows?
Strong mail that Mangrook Footy Show is a very good chance of taking home the Logie for the best footy show.
Oh, no, come on.
Yes.
Marn Grook.
Marn Grook.
What channel is that on?
It's on the ABC.
SBS.
NITV. Hey?
SBS, isn't it?
No, it's ABC, isn't it? Now? ABC. Know.
Is it? Okay.
ABC. Marn Grook footy show. Very good chance to Logie take home chance. The Logie.
Gee.
You like that show, Duck?
That's a good. I reckon it's a great show.
They're funny.
Very.
They're very funny. Robbo?
I've just learnt that my sister-in-law has just married secretly Greg Healy. So Greg Healy now becomes
Sugar.
My brother-in-law.
Former Melbourne player.
Sugar, captain of Melbourne.
Yeah.
Brother Surfer. Of Jared.
Yeah.
Runs Quicksilver joins the ranks. Australia.
Runs yeah. Quicksilver.
So,
global.
Back oh, yeah. Hey,
I've ordered you a double XL suit too, BT, yeah. on the stand. That'd be beautiful down at Lawn Point. But yeah, the Healy's joined the Robertses now.
Very good. And just a little one following on from Sandilands. Apparently the x-rays while he was in hospital for a week have made it to the paper. Haven't made it in the paper. They've made it to the officers. How can that happen that your personal information can get out into the public arena? I don't know. Extraordinary. Big game still to come, of course, Collingwood and Melbourne. Jay-Z, just very, very quickly before we talk to our next guest,
yes.
just want to get your thoughts on this. I've been doing some work on injuries, you know, some theory, mm-hmm. as we've come into today's show, which is unusual.
I often see you sort of studying and that sort of stuff.
Osteitis pubis seems to have completely disappeared.
We don't talk about it anymore. No. It's a groin. Just a,
gone.
Yeah. It was every second injury was osteitis pubis.
Calf
about 4 years
injuries
ago.
Have emerged as the new injury. We've had more than we've ever had.
I don't know why that is.
So what's going on there? And the other one is hamstrings, of course, as well. We've always had those. But and a large number of ankles this year. And given the fact that players get all of their ankles strapped, that's unusual as well.
Mm.
Interesting injury news coming through, if you yeah. take the
I
time
like
to sit
it that you're right across it. The latest medical trends, Brian.
Very good. All right. Our next guest from the Melbourne Footy Club, of course, needs no introduction. He's out for just a little while. Bernie Vince joins us from the Melbourne Footy Club. Bernie, welcome to you.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yes, and just couldn't help yourself last week, or were you unlucky?
Oh, I like to think I was unlucky, but I couldn't really help myself either. So, yeah, I thought I actually sort of half missed him, but as I said before, the medical report wasn't great, so didn't really have any grounds to argue.
So what's happening with the players' code now, Bernie? Because a few years ago, when you did the tribunal stuff, the other player, I know he didn't hit me, wasn't that hard. I got straight back up. Now you're all just dobbing each other. Everyone's dobbing on each other. What is happening?
Well, I've never dobbed on anyone in my whole life, and that started when I was in year one at school. So I don't think I'll ever do that. But yeah, I don't know. As I said, the medical report wasn't great, so I couldn't. Didn't really have any grounds to fight it, which I would have liked to have fought it, but.
It was a funny old game last week. Obviously, strong wind to one end and off to a poor start. But at least you got your game going a bit.
Yeah, it was a bit of a weird game. It was a really strong breeze. Obviously, going to right a screen, and I think it was 42-0 at one stage. And Melbourne of old would have, you know, that would have been a 100-point loss probably. So although the wind probably helped us in the second quarter, we're in front. I think 12 minutes into that second quarter, so it happened really quick. The messaging at quarter time was pretty positive, to be honest. The contest stuff was really good, and Ruzi just said if we keep that contest stuff at that level, we'll bounce back pretty quickly here, and that's what happened. And yeah, it could have gone. Those close ones can go either way when it comes down to, you know, the last sort of minute or even the last 10 seconds. That mark it could have been taken. So.
Bernie, how has the coaching group addressed the fact that you guys win when you're the hunter, but when you are expected to win and the favourite side, like against Essendon, the team has a history of almost capitulating? Because that is history that's repeating itself. So has the coaching group addressed that with you guys?
Not really.
Like, is there a complacency there against Essendon? Or?
We don't think so, but just like reviewing the game, we did a lot of things really poorly against Essendon. And, you know, we kicked it into gear on the weekend against North Melbourne, and you know that we don't look whether we're favourites or we're underdogs. We just go out and try and play the footy we train. So we haven't spoken about it, but you know, I guess if that's history, that's history, isn't it? So we got to turn that around and make sure we win those games we should.
So we know young guys in the team, there's a lot of inconsistencies associated with that sort of player, but when would you expect that Melbourne can become an absolute force in the competition, given the age where you're at the moment, the games you're trying to get into those young players at the moment. Where, how far away do you reckon it is?
Well, I don't have much time left in my career, so I want to fast-track that as quick as we can. And I know all clubs are doing that, but we've got some really special talents coming through. And, you know, we've had the high draft picks and that. You can say whatever you like, but the Christian Petrakas, Clary, has been really good for us this year. Angus Brayshaw, those sort of guys are 10, 12-year players. So we're hoping that, well, I want to fast-track as quick as we can, but I reckon there's been a big shift this year, big improvement this year, and hopefully we can fast-track that into, you know, this year. Hopefully we can make finals this year. That's our plan.
Right.
I want to talk to you about Petraka. He's played two games back in the seconds. Apparently he's been very, very good. Confident kid.
Very confident.
Been telling his teammates to come down and watch the show that he puts
he
on.
Doesn't call himself the big show,
down
does he?
There in the VFL. When do you? How many more do you think they'll give him before he'll play?
Yeah, if you asked him, he would have played round one.
Yes.
But yeah, I was over watching the VFL actually earlier, and mate, he's a special talent. He takes hangers. He's powerful, and it's only his second year. Obviously missed all last year with his knee, but.
They're big raps. You just said huge. So. They're saying he has the power and the explosiveness of a Dangerfield, and he gets it like him. He has the evasive skills of Robbie Gray and Ablett. Mm. He's a combination of all of those. And I remember Simon Goodwin saying that he is the best kid that he's ever seen on the track. Now, Goody's played with some pretty handy players. Is he seriously that good?
He is seriously good. I don't want to talk him up too much and put pressure on him, but
I think that horse has bolted, Bernie.
I've already done that, haven't I? But he is a special talent. He can, as I said, he can do all those things. And the good thing about him is, I think he does. He knows he's going to be good, so he can't wait to be good. And he wants to, talking about fast tracking, he wants to fast track his own career, and he wants to be good now. He doesn't want to wait. Every week he comes into the coaches, he's like, why aren't I playing this week? I'm ready to go. And, you know, they have to pull him back a little bit, which is what you want in a kid that's going to be a star. So I don't think, he's probably only a week or two away, honestly. And, I can't wait to see him, because he's just a kid you can't help but love. He gets annoying, but you can't help but love him.
What's Jesse Hogan like in the couple of hours before the game? Is he a sort of one who gets really G'd up? Is he quite quiet? You know, how does he sort of carry himself before the bounce?
No, he's reasonably quiet sort of bloke in general, Jesse. But he's another one that deep down he knows he's good. And I love that about it, especially a key forward. Going out there, I just love playing with him, because you know he's going to bring the contest. And he's had a lot of knockers, to be honest, in the first couple of rounds, and I thought it was very unfair. He answered them last week with, I think, four goals or something. So, before the game, he's reasonably quiet, but he goes about his business the way 18 different blokes do it differently in the room. So he gets himself up a bit quieter than some other guys, but he's certainly ready to go when the balls bounce.
Who's the best player in the comp, Bernie, at the moment, you reckon? We're seeing Mitchell do some great work for the Hawks. Dangerfield has been lively. Ablett's back.
I think
Robbie Gray.
If I had to go now, I'd probably say Dangerfield. Right. Just he does everything, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He gets the footy, wins clearances, contests the ball, and he kicks goals.
Mm.
So that's basically everything. So I think it right at the moment in his form. There are, as you said, a lot of other guys, but I love midfielders that hit the scoreboard. I think that adds another class to them. So,
and if you were given the job, we're talking before about tagging Mitchell, if you were given the job to play on Sam Mitchell and keep him to, say, 20 instead of 40, you reckon it's achievable? You reckon you could achieve that?
It is. I think you're better off going sort of head-to-head with him and hurting him the other way, because no one ever talks about the guys that he's standing. And a lot of times the guys he's standing are getting plenty of the footy himself. So that's probably the way I'd go about it, because he's going to find the footy. He's going to get a lot of the footy. So you just got to make sure when he does get it, they're pressured disposals, and hopefully he's unbelievable skills on him. So it's hard. You just got to put a little bit of pressure on him, and hopefully he misses the kicks, but then going the other way, really hurt him the other way. I think that's the way I'd play it, but Yeah, he's in some pretty good form at the moment.
He is. Bernie, looks like you're playing more in defence this year, almost being that quarterback for Melbourne. Has that been a slight change in focus for you on the field this year?
Yeah, it has. I've rolled sort of 50-50, I guess, midfield, half-back. Just a role I'm developing. There's a lot of, as I said, a lot of young guys coming through that are midfielders, so just giving them a run in the midfield a bit and giving a bit of a chop out, you know, sort of 50% of the game going in there, so... Just playing my role, mate. Listen to the coaches and doing what they want me to.
And our good friend James Brayshaw says you are one of the great night-time operators. The mid-season break isn't that far. What do you got planned? You sort of head away up to Sydney? Or
12
what
weeks away, JJ.
But these, you've got to be careful planning these sorts of things. Bernie, what might you be doing?
Oh, I might do some extra training, a bit extra running, a bit extra recovery for the next week.
What is pumping around the city at the moment, Bernie?
We're not sure yet. We're actually getting 5 days off, I think, over that break. So that gives me a bit of time. We could do anything.
Anything's possible.
Yeah, I might have to make a few phone calls. Haven't planned it just yet, so there we go. Hopefully I'm in some good form.
Well, Bernie Vince has been our guest up in the Triple M box on a Sunday afternoon. This one's about to get underway, so we need to take a break and get back for the start of the game. Bernie, best of luck when you come back. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much, guys.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks football.